Hello, this is Gerd Leonhardt, futurist and author of Technology versus Humanity, techversushuman.com. Today in a call, a podcast with my colleague Peter Van, who's the content curator for the Futures Agency. We're talking about my book, Technology versus Humanity, my favorite topic, Chapter 7, Digital Obesity, the concept of what happens when we consume too much information. So Peter, thanks for being there and fire away.
Good morning, Gert. You describe it as our latest pandemic, and you connect it to what you describe as questionable entertainment. So maybe let's start with a definition of what you call digital obesity.
Yeah, it's of course somewhat unfair to people who are actually obese when you compare it to the digital part. But really what's happening is that the food industry has obviously to a very large degree poisoned the food supply and come up with a way of telling people that this kind of food is better because it's sweeter and so on and so on. And the result is that we have more people obese in the world than at any other time before. In fact, now more people are dying from obesity than they die from hunger, which is a strange stat, right? And this especially is true for India, Brazil, which you wouldn't think of that, but Brazil is now, after the US, one of the hottest spots for obesity. And of course, the thing is that it's people are obese a lot of times because, A, the food is bad, and it's cheap, and it's plenty, and it's too much, right? And so the analogy is that we have so much digital information now, whether it's data or social media feeds or images or, of course, movies, music, and so on, that we overconsume, because it's good, right, and it's cheap or free, and we end up mentally exploding, you know, becoming mentally fat, and so that we're literally threatened by the fact that we just can't digest all that stuff anymore, and you know, our brain just kind of clogs up.
Well, what would it mean in a digital sense to be healthy? I mean, like in food. People talk about organic food, and they eat well and healthy, which is usually reserved to those who can afford it. So if we would translate this in a digital world and the overconsumption of information, what would being healthy look like?
Yeah, I think, you know, with food, of course, I'm quite into that topic myself and what healthy food and stuff looks like. So I believe, first of all, is the quality of the food, but then it's also the amount of the food. You know, I kind of try to stick with the Steve Jobs paradigm where he says, stay hungry, right? Mm-hmm. So many people are saying the key to health is that you're always a little bit hungry, mm-hmm. and you're never really topped out, you know, which is, of course, the antidote to German food, for example. But, you know, looking at this kind of paradigm of not just what you eat, but how much you eat, and with what kind of approach, you know, for example, the approach of saying that this is the most important thing in your life, you know, food is important, but it's only one of the things that's important. I think that the obesity part comes in so many variants, including, of course, actual disease, you know, not necessarily by eating. It comes in all different shapes. But in terms of information, the approach would be to say, okay, when do I eat? Like, you know, many diets are prescribing a 5-hour schedule of, you know, eating enough to be okay and then not eating for 5 hours, you know. That's a standard for a lot of diets, right? Mm-hmm. Like metabolic balance and so on. Mm-hmm. And taking supplements for things that you don't get in the food. But they have a certain discipline. So, for example, eating information, there are times when I try not to eat information. For example, when I'm preparing for a keynote, I don't eat more information while I prepare for the keynote. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or I try to stay information clean in the evening or not constantly stuff myself with more information. I think the problem is that we have this limitless supply. It's like, you know, when I was a musician, I played in Las Vegas, and we had free go at the buffet and stuff, right? Right. So because we worked there, right? And I tell you, the buffet, even in those days, was at least 150 meters of stuff. Oh, yes. Right? And people that didn't work there had to pay $10 to eat there. $10, right? Mm-hmm. For 150 meters of food. If the possible variation you could imagine. And I think this is so tempting. And if you're looking at digital information, like even movies or documentaries or Twitter and updates, you know, it's not 150 feet, it's 150 million feet. And so there's no end. So we have to have discipline on this. We have to say that's enough of the information. We have to stop acting like we can limitlessly suck in information. And I think this is important because, yes, it can be practiced to eat more information without getting obese. It can be practiced, right? But generally speaking, there is a limit to how much of that we can do physically as humans.
And that's the when do you eat. That has to do with discipline. I assume there is a what do you eat?
Yeah, there's also a what. I think that I think I've become very strict on what I consume because you are what you eat, right? And I would say, you are what you read. And you are what you watch. I mean, it's clearly that has impact. You know, if you're doing a binge session on Netflix every 2 days and watching most of that sort of, it's not exactly like, intellectually challenging in that way. It has all the standard motifs and stuff, right? This has really impact on your brain, right? I mean, imagine if you watch stuff like Black Mirror and Humans and all this kind of science fiction, stuff that we talk about, right? If you watch that every evening for a month, your mindset will be different. All right. So, be careful what you watch, what you read, because it impacts you. Right? Everything impacts us. So this is just like, I don't eat donuts. I try to stay away from junk food and it's this kind of thing. Like, okay, you make exceptions, of course, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but generally speaking, be careful. Junk data, like, this could also be interesting. And this is, of course, a real challenge for my job, for our job, really, is that you always say, oh, yeah, this could be related to this, or it could be interesting. And before you know it, then every single topic on Earth is on your radar screen.
So in the when and the what, especially in the what, it's is the type of content you described so far. If we continue the comparison with the food supply chain, there's probably also something to say about the data supply chain. So, like, I'm only buying food that is fair trade. Would there be something like data that is fair trade?
Yeah, I think it's really, well, I think for food, of course, the main curse there is food that uses lots of substances that make it last longer. And of course, junk food, which is quick and
how it is made. I mean,
how it is made, yeah,
and the ethics of the people who have to produce it in the supply chain.
Yeah, so the equivalent of junk food, of course, in the digital world is everywhere. It's fast, it's dirty, it tastes good, right? But it doesn't do anything for you, and it makes you want more. So I think that's a good description of social media. But, having said that, I do use social media to find things, I think you have to develop a skill of saying that you could use this, but not that. And that takes a while to figure this out. But generally speaking, staying away from junk food, staying away from stuff that was created with exploitation. In food, that's very important. But also in some websites, I can just taste that this is a cut and paste job, and this is why I think books are good, in many ways I prefer books over web reading. And I think that's a good thing. I think web reading is interesting if you're looking for examples and information to talk about that people may have heard about, right? But the stuff you see on the web is, of course, in many ways quite different than the sort of solid eating, you could say, the gourmet style reading a book, and reading a physical book is even more gourmet, but of course that does have disadvantages. So most of my reading is digital, but I try to focus on books and substantial thinking rather than a fast snack.
I was thinking about the same thing yesterday. I bought a very interesting book about design by John C.D. Brown, and so reading that sort of books also forces you to have longer attention spans, in not disturbed in silence almost. And if we look at the way how we consume data, it's a lot in a sort of mode of almost addiction and craving for more and looking for things that are sticky and fast. And so there's a different, I hope, better quality in reading longer attention span sort of content.
Yeah, you know, one of my sayings from the book, derived from the book, is that technology is not what we seek, but how we seek. Mm-hmm. Right? And the bad part is that a lot of media has become the how we seek, the what we seek, right? Yes. Rather than the how. You know, so the process of finding this stuff is satisfying us already without actually having read it.
Yes.
And so we say, "Oh, I read this, and I think that's not necessarily totally bad when we're looking at collecting things, right? Mm-hmm. But to really contemplate and stuff, you know, this is the kind of automation of thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's better to go deeper and spend a few hours and then come out with a real realization. I think it's part of this concept of what I call wormholing, mm-hmm. Which essentially is the concept is, okay, why bother with the work? When you can have an app or an algorithm just remove 99% of it.
Yeah, but as we have, I think, also discussed before, a lot of the platforms that provide the data, they have been designed with addiction in mind. So they try to, at least some of them, they try to target, if I can use that word, the user, at their moment of vulnerability. And so they, at that moment of vulnerability, they create this craving and people become really addicted. So the question here is, and it's also in your book, is who is responsible for this obesity or for this addiction?
Well, I think that as we have with food and other things, and we need to have some rules and some social contracts and some flat out prohibitions on what is allowed and what is not. You know, the way the food industry currently works with 300 million tons of preserving substances and whatever being sold and distributed in every single food. I mean, it's very hard to buy food that's not processed.
Yes. Right?
And to me, that requires regulation and requires also regulation not to put a Kentucky Fried Chicken next to the high school. And those kind of things, because, you know, part of that is temptation, it's price, and it's the brainwashing, and it's all of those things that we know from food, and this is why we have obesity and diabetes, right? Mm-hmm. Because in many countries, it's considered important to your lifestyle if you have limitless food. Like in the US, you know, it's you eat a lot and everything is twice as much as it should be. You know, mm-hmm. This is a question of philosophy, social contracts and standards. And, you know, we don't really have that in Europe as much as we have in the US. But now Brazilians are saying, we want to be like Americans. We want to eat limitlessly and every day, all day long, right? And so that's I think it's one of those things that require regulation and understanding. And the same will be true or is true for content and media and humanizing that process. You know, when you look at what's happening in food and, you know, giant places where you can eat, you know, 100 meters of buffet, that's kind of dehumanizing in many ways.
Yeah. Some people may say that this is paternalizing what you do. So they say, you know, Gert, it's a free world. It's everybody can do what they want in a sort of laissez-faire attitude.
I agree that is an issue, of course, of personal liberty and so on, but this is hardly a question of personal liberty when your surrounding is rigged and organized in such a way that you will just fall prey to it. Mm-hmm. I mean that's a vast difference of saying, yeah, no, I will never go to the Kentucky Fried Chicken, or I will never spend all day on social media. Same thing, really. Right? And the other way, but between that and then saying, okay, there's nothing but Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? Everything else has died, right? Yes. there is a balance between those two. And if you want to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken, be my guest. But if you create an environment where that becomes a new normal, and then being fat is considered totally fine, like, you know, in what is it now, 45% of Americans are overweight or obese. And that is the, and I just think of the costs and all these things, right? And then all of a sudden that I, you know, not to put them down, but I think this is really a challenge of our mindset and of our social contract that says, you know, this is what we want, and it's desirable to be always stuffing ourselves.
Yeah, okay. I think there's maybe another book, but at least some additional writing possible around this concept of non-processed food, if we make the comparison with non-processed data. So it's very difficult to find non-processed data these days. And it makes me think of this video or this presentation by Jonathan Zittrain. We're going to write a blog about this in the coming days, where he shows that the search engines initially were providing almost unprocessed data, whatever they find on the web. But then they have started adding judgment to it, or processed data. And at a certain moment, these processed data, we don't know anymore how they have been processed, which makes us also feel uncomfortable. So there's a lot more in this food data comparison than is already in your book.
Yeah, I think that's, of course, a very fruitful topic. But I think the difference is with food, of course, there are physical components that will have different reactions and make us do different things and have different consequences. Now, with digital obesity, for example, we may not realize how fat we are and what the issues are, because we don't see it very easily. Right? We just feel like, you know, we're constantly trying to multitask, for example. Hmm. This is a huge temptation because of digital obesity. Is this concept of saying, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, so can we do it in parallel, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that doesn't work. From, like, I think 2% of the entire human population has the capacity of multitasking without loss of productivity and memory, right? Mm-hmm. It's like going without sleep, you know, some people can do that. but that's not what we are in general. And so I think there's a lot of really great comparisons here. And I think that this epidemic of saying that, you know, we have all of this overkill of things will require a combination of personal desire and personal rejection and personal discipline, but also not to build addiction into the system. Mm-hmm. know, and this can be regulated. Right. So quite right. Clearly, you know, we have that is really social media. That's what it does, because it's all about selling clicks. Right?
Yep. So, but we are just getting started. So you mentioned in your book, a tsunami of data is coming and we are drowning in a sea of apps, leading into, I think this is a really great quote, abundance outside and scarcity inside. Mm-hmm. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think that this, of course, also relates pretty well to food. We can, because we have so many possibilities, we have an abundant possibility of where we're going to go, what we're going to eat, what we're going to watch, every movie known to man. You know, in 5 years, we'll have every podcast, every TV show, every television show, everything will be available with a voice command. So you'll say, please play Kojak 1981.
So it becomes easier. Yeah. To get access to the abundance.
Yeah, yeah. This is like Las Vegas buffet, same thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's very easy. Just pay $10 and you've got the 100 meters, right? Mm-hmm. So we have this huge abundance, and then we think that this abundance solves our problem, and our problem is that we want to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And if you want to be satisfied superficially, of course, it works fine. Because, you know, you can, it's like a lot of people eat for that reason too much, right? Because it feels good to be stuffed, you know, in both ways, digital and otherwise, for some people at least. So this abundance is on the outside. But in the inside, we have even more scarcity, because we feel like we still haven't gotten what we want. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We haven't gotten the relationships. We didn't get the experience. We kind of got the superficial thing. It's like the difference between a great movie and a just any movie is that when you come out, you feel satisfied in a great movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And you feel like, you know, you're really gone inside of something, like, say, in my view, Blade Runner, first one, Paris, Texas, you know, and you watch this and you're like, oh shit, you know, then I really get inside of it. But many other movies are like, okay, you know, you switch it off and you're like, oh my God, I think I ate too much. Yeah, it's the same thing. So abundance on the outside, that's very easy to sell. It makes lots of money. Scarcity on the inside, you know, happiness, contentment, those kind of things that we strive for, generally speaking. Of course, they can't be sold like a product. You know?
Mm-hmm. I like the get inside of it. It makes me think of the movie and the music that goes with Tron, with the Daft Punk, mm-hmm. where basically the guy at a certain moment says, "And suddenly I got in." And I'm it's not in your book, but you also have seen this demo of the latest HoloLens. So mm-hmm. we get this sensation that we are in, but in reality we are not in. So this scarcity, abundance and addiction will probably get worse because we are in.
Again, I don't think it matters when we look at this as something that we do for a certain moment. Like, you know, if I'm a doctor, I'm wearing the HoloLens 2, and I can be much faster and I can save time, maybe talk to the patient more as a result. You know, it's a tool for that, in which case I would think that, you know, if I don't do it 10 hours a day, that's probably a good tool. But if I start using that tool and saying, I'm going to be in this world where, you know, it's like virtual Tinder or something, you know, and that's basically all I do, mm-hmm. Because, you know, that gets me on the lowest possible denominator. And that's what I call wormholing, you know, shortcutting through something and then leaving out 90% of the meaning, but getting 100% of the instant result. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something principally wrong with that concept. Mm-hmm. Because it's, I think, again, it's the main thing is that it has a dehumanizing effect. Just like some other things that we are already constantly doing have dehumanizing effects in different proportions. Yeah,
and on top of it, there is this huge, at least I consider it huge, asymmetry in power between the platform providers and the users. So in your book, you take the example of Google, but you could have taken Facebook or Amazon or any other, that they are becoming so hyper-efficient, so convenient and addictive that, I mean, this is a machine that we almost cannot resist anymore.
Yeah, and this is really a great comparison to food. You know, it's the same thing. We can't resist. I mean, if you want to find food that's not processed, you got to look high and far. Right? It's not easy. I think that's wrong. You know? Mm-hmm. I think that's also this idea of that, you know, we can be cheaper, better, faster, and not suffer as a consequence. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That we can cut off all the work, all the process, and all the work. Like, you know, rather than thinking about stuff ourselves, we just ask the AI. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, that's kind of this extremely tempting. A saying that's related to the abundance thing is the convenience over consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. Has the same, right? The same, you know, we prefer the convenience, and consciousness will say, like, you know, well, we'll find a way for that later, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And not to be sort of too, how shall I say, retro on this idea, right? I think that when you do that at certain times, it's okay. But when you do it too much, or you do it as a default, then it's really bad. You know, it's like, I always say in my speeches, too much of a good thing can be a very bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know? And so it's not the thing itself, right? Even though that would of course be arguable in the case of junk food, but it's not the thing itself, like social media. It's too much of that thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If we continue the metaphor or the comparison with food and data, so data is made available, we consume it, we overconsume it, we get obese, there is probably waste in the system, there is pollution. And so it's in the same way, very similar to oil. So you get in the book and you use it a lot in your keynotes.
Yeah, I mean, all these comparisons have, of course, weak spots. Like, you know, maybe people say data is the oil is not completely logical, and it isn't, but I think it's a suitable analogy for many things. The thing is that we, with what we create in a digital world, we have this, the pollution effect is only now becoming visible. It's just like, you know, you have to eat a long time to get really fat, you know, and to really get sick from eating. That takes a lot of effort. It's not like a week in Mallorca would do that, you know. But you know, when we eat too much digitally and we consume too much information and we put all our effort into sort of staying at the surface, you know, and we consume all the online TV shows that we can binge watch and stuff, we change gradually, right? Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden we find ourselves like saying, what in the world? You know, I'm like totally bloated.
Yes. You
know? I need a serious diet. You know? And this is really what happens. And you know, a lot of people are like, you know, when they're 5 kilo too heavy, then they're saying, oh God, you know, this is not good. I got to put on the brakes, and they've managed somehow. But many people get 20, 30, 50 kilos too heavy, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to come back from that. Mm-hmm. And I think that, the industry in terms of data, social media, and media in general is responsible for keeping us on the diet also that is human-centric and that is not based on selling the maximum amount of clicks.
If we would be able to fast forward, I mean, in your book you describe a 2020 horizon, but we are 2020 next year. Mm-hmm. So if we fast forward like 5 years, not to go too far, mm-hmm. what do you think we will observe? Will it be worse or better, this obesity?
Well, I think we have already seen in this year and last year a sort of return to humanity as a demand. We see this discussion everywhere. People are saying, oh, that's great, but you know, what about people? And what about relationships? And what about actual service, like, you know, rather the idea of saying when you go to a restaurant, you don't have an iPad that you order through or with the wine list or, and then the bot comes up and brings the food. Mm-hmm. You know, you have actual people and you pay more for that, you know? And people are now saying that we want people, other people. We don't want to dehumanize everywhere. Now, we want to dehumanize when there is stuff like, you know, road monkey work, bookkeeping, whatever on the lowest level, you know, things that we can really automate. Yeah, we can automate that. It'll be better. But we also want to rehumanize. And I think that's an effect that we're going to see very heavily in the next couple of years, because a lot of people feel uncomfortable with this idea of taking out the human and basically selling us a sort of automated a junk pipeline in return, like in media. Right? I mean, the social media discussion is indicative of this. How many people are pissed off at Facebook now? And this is only because they make such a perfect target and they're really the best in it, right? By saying essentially they've created a situation to where we are eating what the AI is serving. Mm-hmm. Rather than what we want to eat or what would be good for us to eat, and to figure out what's good to eat, we need humans. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we go to a nice restaurant where we know that person is a responsible cook and sourcing ethically, and so on and so on. And that's why I shop at certain shops, you know, that do this, and other ones I don't.
Yes, it's I mean, we are coming over every time back to this, but we are stepping away from this ideal of hyper-efficiency. We are craving almost for something that is better and more human than just being more efficient at buying or being more efficient at giving a present under the Christmas tree or something like that. So we are looking for another level of quality, at least some of us.
Yeah, so on the topic of efficiency, you know, I always say that efficiency is for robots. Because basically in a human relationship, efficiency doesn't matter as much as the experience itself. In digital media, we have been experiencing this efficiency over humanity, you could say, over human agency. It's been very important to have efficient distribution, efficient finding, efficient information, and so on. But is it really valuable? You know, and of course the abundance also means that it's much harder to decide what's good or not. So this is one of those things. Endless choice leads also sometimes to confusion or to overconsumption. So I think this is the curse of efficiency, really.
Mm-hmm. So we are getting into a sort of the digital minimalism. I think Carl Newport even wrote a book about it, where it's not anymore about more is better, but less is more. It's almost like in art, when you do a painting, the more you make it cry everywhere, the worse it gets. So sometimes it's better to have just a couple of touches here and there to create the experience of being able to get in. It's a little bit like, and you mentioned that in your book, this quote from Albert Einstein, that everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler.
Yeah, I think that the hard part in general is that sometimes that may be extremely true, and other times that's not true at all. Because there are instances where where more is better. For example, when you're looking at choices of e-commerce and things like that, right? But when it's about actual human experiences, it's not generally that this kind of efficiency and over distribution is desirable. And you can see that, for example, with Spotify, right? And what is the really important thing about Spotify is not the fact that I can have unlimited music, but that I find the morsels. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And that is, of course, AI on Spotify, but it's also very human. Other people sending me links or playlists, and now there's a whole generation of people whose job it is to make playlists. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And I think we have to put the human back in, and that is so true for so many areas. I think we need to use technology to make the job, the routines and stuff, easier, because that does make it efficient and cheaper. But then we have to also rehumanize. So the best thing, for example, social media could do is to say, okay, let's use the AI to filter and to select and to be smart. And then we still have our 30,000 journalists, you know, that are taking this and making sense and creating stories. You know, I think one of the ways out for Facebook would be, you know, to hire something like 30,000 journalists, you know, to rehumanize, or to actually hire them where they already are, which is with the media organizations. I think this is a part of the obesity thought that, you know, you need help if you're in danger of eating too much. Mm-hmm. You don't just need discipline. I mean, discipline is, of course, a requirement, right? But you also need sort of, the general context has to be that it's not normal to constantly stuff yourself. Yeah? And if that context is, if we stay with this context and saying, oh, stuff is really important, stuff faster, stuff bitter, you know, and then we all get fat, and then it's completely normal to be fat. Right? I mean, digitally speaking. Right? Yeah. And I think that would be a bad outcome, that if we agree that, you know, being five times the size of before is completely okay, because it's, you know, it's just there.
Yeah. It's the new normal.
Yeah. And I think this is a common confusion. I mean, if you look at what happened to the food industry, it's completely normal to have processed food. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is this, right? It's like, that is not normal. And it shouldn't be the new norm that we have to eat like this, because nothing else is available. Mm-hmm. And I think we're now seeing a trend toward that being attacked as well.
Okay.
You know, this whole issue about sugar regulation and dealing with the diabetes and obesity epidemic, you know, that is being discussed everywhere. And I think this is a cultural thing as well. So we need a culture that says you are what you eat, right? And I think that's so true when it's about digital information and media. So be careful what you consume there, and how you consume, and how much of it you consume, and when you consume, you know, to keep some sort of balance between the scarcity on the inside, you know, to create more happiness on the inside rather than more abundance on the outside. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's more it is more preventing, it's more precaution. And in your next chapter, you say we need something more than precaution, we need proaction. But that's something we'll discuss next time.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, it's all in the book. So you out there, you 50 million podcast listeners that we have gathered. No, just kidding. All five of you. Take a look at the book, and thanks very much for tuning in. So you can find more information about us at futurewithgert.com and thefuturesagency.com, where Peter is our content curator. And we're blogging very heavily on digital ethics now, and what we call the future of humanity, Humanity Futures. In fact, we have our own newsletter on digital ethics, which we're rebranding next week, but it's digitalethics.co. And the future will be humanityfutures.com, same place, really. The book is techversushuman.com, my YouTube channel, gerttube.com. And don't eat too much of that because, you know, it will make your head fat. But thanks very much for tuning in, Peter, and for asking me. And we hope to see you next week.
Super. Have a great day.
Bye.